Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Ridge. And this morning's show is entitled, The Woman Who Overcame the Silence of God. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went to thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out from the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. For she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I would like to carefully note at the beginning something very important that is stated in verse 21. And I'll read verse 21 once again. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. For the Jesus, let me say that this was a unique excursion into pagan and semi-pagan areas. The Jesus visited the districts of Tyre and Sidon and the confederation of free cities called Decapolis. He was called to, in his own words, minister to the lost sheep of Israel. Or his phenomenal public attention in Galilee was very intense. And so even to the territories of Tyre and Sidon, his fame had spread. And a journey of about 3 miles from Capernaum would have brought Jesus into the vicinity of Tyre. Ever since the feeding of the 5,000 that is recorded in Mark 6, 30 to verse 44, Jesus and his disciples had been skirting the region of Galilee. And his purpose was to avoid the opposition in Galilee and to secure opportunities to teach his disciples privately, which is recorded in Mark 9:30-31. And so the regions to which he withdrew were the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee and also Phoenicia, which is Mark 7:24-30, and the Decapolis and Caesarea Philippi. Now, the area of Tyre and Sidon commercially had been a source of what has been called cultural seductive and religious heterodoxy since the time of Jezebel. These cities had been heavily influenced by Greek Hellenism, and one can get a clue to this by looking at the coinage from that era, and including its architecture. And so this area was filled with paganism and with tombs of ancient kings and temples to Melkart, Heracles, Astarte, and various other deities. And so it is notable that this woman who had come to Jesus did not appeal to the impotent religion or religions or deities from her own era, from her own area, I should say. So, having heard about his fame that has spread throughout the area, she goes to him seeking help for her daughter. So notice, and so this background will give a clue as to why verse 2 is so important in the text and the way it is written. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. So I'm thinking about who this woman is and why she has gone out, why she has gone to speak to the Iesus. And we see in verse 22 her motivation for seeing him. One can tell from the language that she is in grief, she is a mother, she has gone to speak to him because of the condition of her child. She speaks of her daughter as being grievously vexed with a devil. Now, this same narrative is recorded in Mark chapter 7, and in Mark 7:25 it reads, for a certain one whose young daughter, and so Mark adds that detail for us, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now, so Mark uses the term unclean spirit, or pneuma, ekathartan. And Mark also uses in verse 26, daemonion. And in verse 29, he uses the Greek term daemonion. And so it would seem that pneuma, ekathartan, and daemonion are interchangeable. But we are given the physical and spiritual condition of this child. And so the mother knows or knew what was going on with her child. So she says that Well, in Mark's narrative, that she had an unclean spirit. And so the unclean spirit related to defilement, and that which is that which makes the person unclean. And so in Jesus' culture, there are certainly certain rituals associated with ritualistic uncleanness, and that is recorded in Leviticus. But this is a very interesting situation in which this mother has thought come out. She knows that something is wrong, and she knew that something was not right within her child. I also note about the mother that this was not a paralyzing grief that she was experiencing in her heart. This was not a paralyzing grief, but it was a type of grief that stirred the mother into action. She did not acquiesce to the condition of her daughter. No, she moved out by faith to do something about her child's condition. So this is a very powerful and scene that we have going on. Her child was badly demonized, which is closer to the Greek text. And so there's this child who is badly demonized. There's a mother who is grief stricken, but her grief motivates her to do something about her child's condition. And here is Jesus, who has left one area because of his intense popularity, and he encounters this new situation in pagan territory, and to which his fame had also spread. And so this woman is most certainly not from Israel. We are told where she was from. And so in verse 23, after she speaks to him and greets him as the son of David, she tells the great physician her daughter's condition. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Some might say that, well, this is a very primitive understanding, and in this primitive culture, there could have easily have been a neurological condition that they were unable to diagnose or to recognize. Well, let me say at this point that if one were to read carefully the book of Leviticus and other passages in the Old Testament, particularly in the first five books of Moses, one would come to understand that the priests were both the religious leaders and teachers, and also the public health officials. So they were very adept and very skilled at diagnosing medical conditions. And they were most certainly able to recognize when someone had been supernaturally, or the personality had been supernaturally invaded or taken over by another presence called a demon or an unclean spirit. And so why we should be skirted around today, or why we would pretend or ignore the reality of such a condition, has always been a fascinating phenomenon to me, but understanding the philosophical bias and the philosophical and materialistic foundation of Western medicine is therefore not difficult in some respect. Whereof one cannot speak there, one must be silent, I guess one might say. But I want to note this exchange that the Jesus has with his grieved mother. And note carefully the movement of this narrative and the dynamic and what goes on between the two. Verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And notice verse 23. "But he answered her not a word." And also note what the disciples said to him. "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." In the Greek, the word crieth is krazo, and it means to scream. She screams after us. Note the first part of verse 23. He, that is speaking of the Jesus, answered her not a word. And the term answered or is in what we call the aorist indicative passive. And in Greek, aorist means at a point in time, something happened. Indicative refers to a statement of fact. And then we have the passive voice. And so, in which nothing is happening. And so, he is quiet. The Jesus is silent. And then the disciples add their piece by saying, "Send her away," that is, refuse her request, "for she screams after us." And she does not leave. This woman will not go away. And so in verse 24, the movement continues. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Again, after his silence or the silence of God, these words are given in verse 24, which should have most certainly caused her to walk away with her request unfulfilled. Knowing her dire need, this statement would have most certainly motivated her to leave, to walk away, and to give up her hope of a cure for her young daughter's condition. Now, Evidently, the condition of the child was chronic. And there was a history here. And we most certainly know that Jesus knew that this condition was chronic because he knew all. He also noted the desperation in this grief-stricken woman. But look at his words in verse 24. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet, strategically, he left that area and he entered into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon because of his popularity. God never does anything by chance. Everything that God does is known from the beginning. And so here is a very unique medical situation, but not the only case of an individual being demonized or an individual which has his or her personality overtaken and controlled by an unclean spirit. This is most certainly not unique in that sense, but it is unique in that this young daughter, this young individual is demonized. And there were certainly some very disturbing cases that of this, that is, of individuals being demonized that Jesus faced during his public ministry. Conditions that were very, very disturbing. And as we are reading this narrative, please keep in mind that he himself is the Evangelion. He is the gospel. He himself is the good news. He himself is God's good news. He himself is God's answer to the human condition. Pictured here as demonized. The picture here in this mother's anguish and her grief, and most certainly the individual who is suffering, being grievously vexed with the devil that has taken over her life, that is controlling her life. And so, after Jesus' words in verse 24, then the woman performs another action toward him. Then she came and worshipped, saying, she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. That is, aid and relieve me. The faith will not walk away. We read in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please him. We read in Hebrews 11 that those who come to God or who would have something from God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently search him out. And this is most certainly a case of one who is diligently searching him out. This woman has within her heart the condition of her child, and she is going through the walls, or the apparent walls, that has been set up against her. And she meets those walls. She pierces those veils with her faith. She will not go away. The disciples said in verse 23, send her away. Jesus replied, and Jesus, in verse 23, is silent toward her. In verse 24, then he speaks and says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 25, she worships. She will not go away. And then Jesus answers her in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And so there are two negative statements to this woman. And she knew what he meant. And it is interesting to me that she, through her grief and her desperation, she connected this statement to exactly what he meant. And so in verse 27, she said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She asks for a crumb. She would not stop. She would not give up. Think of those who say of their lives that the path of least resistance is God's will for me when the going gets too hard. Certain individuals say that can't be God's will for me. This woman moved out by faith, expecting a yes from Jesus and nothing else. She had determined in her heart to get her child healed. And so, after her fantastic faith statement in verse 27, Jesus says to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I don't have time to go into great detail into this statement, but it is very intense in the Greek. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And so to be made whole, that is bodily and spiritually whole. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And so a new description created by faith. And so something new, that is, be it unto thee. That is, this new situation will come into existence as you have asked. Faith heals. Faith delivers. Faith places us in a new situation. Faith, that is, both taking God at his word, believing God, changes our life situation. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Mattercast. Have a wonderful day.